recognized in Africa, recognized in the US.
I think my background is one of those things I don't mention. Media.
This is really one of those stories, and I'm sure even those who are going to watch this would totally relate.
At one point in life, you need to know what brings money to you. And then two guys. So one of them was telling the other guy, I will literally pay $100 for anybody who can build me this website. I'm like, I'll build you the website.
Now you haven't a clue how to start or build a website.
In 6 hours, I learned HTML, CSS.
It's okay to have a job. Not everyone has to become an entrepreneur.
The life of an entrepreneur is an extremely difficult life. But that is not what is stopping you. What is stopping you? Is you don't know how to get there.
So what is the red car phenomenon?
The red car phenomenon simply asks the question, how many red cars do you see this morning? The answer is going to be, man, I didn't see any red car. Now, if you ask that same question, you say, if you give me evidence that you saw one, I'll give you $100. The answer no longer becomes, I didn't see. It becomes, that question has something attached to it. This to me is the basic foundation of luck. Array is not really lucky. Array simply went out looking for red cars. I've been pushing the Africa Free Trade Agreement. Do you know we don't even have our own satellite based map? We don't have a space mission.
What was it all about, and what did you intend to pass across through that message?
I've learned it the hard way.
Wait, let me back drop.
Mobile information network failed.
Ooh.
The reason why it failed was because
I don't think I've heard a story like yours, and I'm super intrigued. What's up, my friend? Welcome to this episode of DRAB. And before we jump into today's episode, I'd love to specially invite you to take 10 seconds and join our 21,000 plus smart friends on emails. I've been sending out emails for the last couple of years, and a bunch of friends always write back. Thousands of them will say that this is the favorite thing that they look forward to on the internet. So once you join our 21,000 plus smart friends, you're going to get an email from me once every month. Plus, you also receive an email every time an episode like this goes live. If you're brand new to the community, I'd love to say welcome. And this is the space for you. So please hit the follow button so that you can get notified every time an episode like this goes live. And also, don't forget to check out the links in the description for really helpful resources that can help you to connect with the guests and also to kickstart with whatever thing you're building. How are you feeling about yourself in this current phase of your life right now?
I think the best way I can put it is to say I'm feeling extremely accomplished. Some of the things that I set out to do, I've done most of them. I feel like what I've done is being recognized by my people, which is most important. And because of that recognition, I have this extra glow, I can put it like that. I have this extra appreciation for life. And so in a nutshell, I am feeling very well health-wise. Couldn't be better, my brother. Couldn't be better.
Truly, I will agree with you. Feeling accomplished, specifically with, most of the strides you've had, recognized in Africa, recognized in the US, recognized across the globe, and something which you probably started, and I'm sure you yourself, you didn't fathom that you go this far. But I want us to walk a bit back, because I'm sure when you do lots of these interviews, it's always, how did you build this business? How did you build all this? But I have come to believe that some of the biggest ways to really even understand someone, we're shaped by three aspects. One of those aspects is our upbringing. The second aspect is our experiences. And then the other influences, the people we have in our life, our mentors and everything. But I'm someone who is very core to family or maybe upbringing. So talk to me about that journey growing up back in Cameroon. And I wanted to just get that part of your life. And specifically, what was that turnaround period where you're like, okay, now this is me starting to pursue the purpose.
Right. I think my story, my background is a pretty interesting one. It's one of those things that I don't mention in the media. Yeah. So my dad, I'll start from there. My dad was a military guy, worked for the Nigerian army, and then moved back to Cameroon, got married, married my mother, and I was born in one of my best guests is Tico. My father came to Cameroon and was working for the Cameroon Development Corporation as a rubber tapper. And he was a rubber tapper because something went wrong across along the way. He couldn't get into the Cameroonian army. But he pretty much quickly became a security guard under the same company. And from there, my life was from one camp to another, from one CDC camp to another CDC camp. So I've lived in a lot of places. I've lived in Tiko, I've lived in Ndou, I've lived in Judissa, I've lived in Pondo. I can go on naming names. I've lived in Moliwe. It's just too many names. And because of these movements, I think I developed a character of people personality. So my personality started looking like what I see in people. If you are kind to me, I'm super kind to you. If you are wicked to me, I'm super wicked to you. If you are silent to me, I'm super silent to you. So that is why I consider myself a mirror personality. I show you exactly what you show me. I went to various schools, went to different schools, didn't stay more than 2 years in a particular school. And then I found myself at the University of Boya, which I think is pretty much where my life started taking the direction I have. At the University of Boya, my father, who I've just mentioned, was not earning that much because working for the CDC as a security guard means you're just living day by day. Wanted me to be a pilot. He did everything for me to be a pilot. He was like, "Oh, I know you're going to be the best pilot in the world, blah blah blah." But I was scared of heights, so I wasn't seeing myself being a pilot at all. So what I did was I applied to do geography and archaeology, history and archaeology, sorry, at the University of Boya. But I realized that doing history and archaeology, even though I loved the subject and I understood it, meant that having a job, especially in the Cameroonian setting, with a history degree, a degree in archaeology,
There's not
meant
much.
I'm joking, right? I could say that. I was just joking. Like, I thought to myself, this, you're crazy. So I went back to my dad and I told my dad, I don't think I can do this. What I want to do is I want to reapply and do geography and specialize in geography. And my dad was like, okay, as long as you are going to pay your fees. And the reason for that is because he had spent close to $1,000, that's 600 plus thousand, to pay my fees, to pay my rent, to pay my feeding. And yeah, I'm coming telling him
Yeah,
that
you're not going to get.
your 600,000 just got wasted. And my dad was like, fine, you go do your geography, make sure you take care of yourself. So in the university, I started a kind of, I can call it entrepreneurial lifestyle, where I will go to school on Monday, and on Tuesday, I will go to the building construction places, what we know in Cameroon as manœuvre. I will go be
Chantier.
an unskilled or chantier, unskilled labor. So I will do that on Tuesday, and sometimes I'll be paid 1,500 CFA francs. For those who don't know, it's about like $3 at the end of the day. And I will use that money to go to school on Wednesday and save a little bit part for my rent. By the way, I was paying rent in Bomaka in a neighborhood, and my rent was 6,000 CFA francs, 6,000
That's like
CFA francs,
$12.
like $12. You're somewhere around $12 now. And if you understand that area and you understand that the average rent in that area is 50,000 or $100, you can imagine where I was for $12. I was literally living in a place where when it rains, it actually meets me, it actually gets to me. So I was not fully covered. Part of the house was broken down, and I was living in that place. I will do that for 3 years. I have very few friends, by the way. Nobody wants to hang out with a loser, you know. I have very few friends. Yeah. So
Good.
what happens was I started using the money I was making from the manoeuvre work, from the chantier, from the construction, building construction. I started using it to buy internet passes at the University of Boya. I remember that at this time I would pay 300 francs for about 2 to 3 hours on the university internet cafe. And when I will be there, I will be teaching myself how to write code. I
Oh,
will teach
so
myself,
that's where you
yeah, I
step
will teach.
in, right? Teach yourself how to write code.
Absolutely. Someone might ask, but what made you think about writing code? So at this one point, I usually trek from Bomaka to the university. Now, this had a transportation fare of about 200 francs. I don't have 200 francs to spare, you know, so I will trek. And in one of those occasions, I came across two guys. So as I was walking, it's a very quiet path. You know, very few people go through that path. That path right now has the extension of the University of Boya Medical, I think Medical Hub or Medical Center.
Campus B, yeah.
Campus B, correct. So that was where I was passing. It was very, very quiet, and you could listen to yourself think. So while I was going through this location, I met two guys, and they were having a discussion. And because it was very quiet, I could overhear what they were saying. So one of them was telling the other guy, and if I could remember his words correctly, it went along the lines of, I don't care how much I will pay right now. I will literally pay $50,000, $100. I will literally pay $50,000 for anybody who can build me this website. And I'm looking like, I listen to this thing, I'm like, this is $50,000.
To build a website.
Exactly. So I walked up to them, and without having a single clue of what a website is in the first place, I told the guy, I'll build you the website. Remember, I've been coming from construction, so I thought building this thing will be so easy. So I'm like, I'll build you the website. And he looked at me, and he's like, have you built a website before? And to be honest, I told him, yes, it was a blatant lie. It was a clean lie. And he looked at me and he said, I'm not going to give you any money.
Yeah.
If you build me the website, I will give you 50,000 cash. And I said, okay, explain to me what you're trying to build. So he went and was explaining. As he was explaining, I'm like, oh, this looks like Yahoo. This looks like the Gmail where I check my email address. It looked like this is what he's trying to build.
Mm-hmm.
So I told him, don't worry, I will deliver it to you in 1 week.
And he said, without you having a clue how to start or build a website, no hosting, no domain, nothing, no experience.
No HTML, no CSS, nothing. Blank slate. Nothing. And he said, if you do that website, in 1 week, I'll give you an extra 10,000. All promise.
60,000 altogether.
Exactly. All promise, nothing. Now, in my pocket, remember, I was going to the school, to university. I was going to school at this time. I had a course. I remember who was teaching that course, Dr. Fombe Lawrence, a very wonderful guy. So when he said that, in my pocket, I had 500 francs, which was my savings from last night's work.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't go to class that day. I just took the 500 francs, went to the cyber cafe in the university, and I paid for 6 hours. And for 6 hours, I learned HTML, CSS in 6 hours.
6 hours.
I sat there with my pen and my pencil, and I went to this website. I will never forget. It's called w3schools.com. That is what taught me. Now, if you know W3 Schools, if you click on that website, you will see they will write HTML. When you click on HTML, they start explaining step by step. After 6 hours, I wasn't good in HTML, but I knew what HTML was. I knew what CSS is. I knew how to write certain codes. And the advantage on that website is they have code examples. So you have practice. Like if you read about headers, you have to go practice how to write headers. So after that day, the next day, I came back to the school, but this time around in the evening, I've gone to work and I've generated 1.5 and I kept 1,000 francs and I took 500 again back to the cyber cafe. And I was ready. Now, something came up. The cyber cafe will not allow me save anything. Okay, in the school, they won't allow you to save anything. So at this time, we have floppy disks, if you remember.
Right, yes.
So, but they won't let you use it. They won't let you use it because they were scared of viruses, they were scared of breakdowns and all this stuff. So what I did was, I realized that the school wouldn't let me do what I'm about to do, but it would give me the knowledge. I would learn how to do it, but I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
So I went to Chief Street, Bomaka. There was a cyber cafe there run by a guy called Talia Achentong. I remember him very well. And I went to Talia and I said, "Big brother, how are you?" He said, "Fine." He knew me. He liked me. And I said, "Big bro, I have a proposal." And he was like, "What kind of a proposal?" And I said, "I noticed that you're paying someone to clean your cyber cafe." "Yeah, like, yeah, you guys won't come here to work in a dirty place. There's someone I actually pay to clean." I'm like, "Okay, don't pay the person anymore. Let me sleep here. Open one computer, give me access to one computer, close your business premises, lock me in. And when I wake up in the morning, before you open the door, I will have cleaned everywhere." And it's like, "Oh, sounds like a good proposal." So that happened. That night, I've never gathered much knowledge in my life like I did that night. And that is why I will never forget this guy's name. I browsed the internet in a way that I have never browsed before. I discovered then a website called CodePen. And CodePen was still at its infancy. So what CodePen will do is, CodePen will let you write your code, and then it will show you how it looks like before you actually get to host it. So the website that guy wanted, I've done it. It's working exactly like he wanted it to work. Now I needed to understand how to host this thing.
It sounds like a movie to me, by the way.
Right. So I started looking at how to host, and I didn't have money because I came across names like, there was domain.something, but there's one that was free. It was called www.000webhost.com. So I learned how to host in one night. I hosted the website, create emails for the website. I learned about SMTP in one night. After doing all of that, I tested if it's working, and it was working fine. So the next day, I think 4 days after that, this has gone on for like, I've taken like 4 to 5 days to do this. He had given me his number, but I didn't have a phone, okay? And if you know the University of Poya very well, there was a fixed phone somewhere around ASTI, if you know. Around ASTI, there was a public phone where you put in 50 francs and then you can call. I went to the phone, plugged in the money, dialed the number he had given me, I've written it on a piece of paper, and he picked up. When he picked up, "Hey, who am I talking to?" I'm like, "This is Bruno." "Hey, Bruno, how are you?" "Fine. I've done your website." "Ah, really?" I said, "Yeah. Are you sure?" "Yeah, I'm sure." "Where are you?" "I'm at the university." "Okay, I'm coming." So this guy, I told him where I would be standing, and he drove and came in a wonderful car, and I'm looking at this guy, I'm like, "How did he get this car?"
Right.
Like, he's looking fresh, and he has his driving, man, I'm here dying. So he made a stop, and he opened his laptop, and he said, "Show me the website." And I entered the address, and the website, he loved it. Like, he was like, "Wow." He's like, "Okay, I gave you a promise, I'm going to keep to my promise." And for the first time in my life, I counted six 10,000 CFA francs, my own 60,000, my own. I've never done it in my life.
Made from your own blood and sweat, your own energy.
Bro, you can say that again. And then it dawned on me that building websites can give me 60,000 every week.
Right.
I'm like, "Okay, now I know where to make the moolah." So I went back home, kept the 60,000, and I'm thinking, what can I do? Now, this is where it gets funny. Because I think at this point in my life, this is the one decision. If you ask me, what decision did you make
that changed
your life? It wouldn't be building this website for this guy. It will be the decision I'm about to make in my little room in Bomaka. And one of my friends visited me and said, "Let's go to Tico. I'm going to Tico. Can you come with me?" I'm like, "Yeah." He had a motorbike. He was going to check on a friend in it's called Maflekumen Mafikumen is a medical
hospital.
Training hospital. Exactly. There was a dustbin in the manager's office, and in there was a broken laptop. I turn it on, it's working well. The only problem is the screen is not fully attached, so you have to. It's not broken. The screen is fine. It's not broken, but it's not really attached to the keyboard. And I looked at it and I asked the guy, "Are you throwing this?" He said, "Man, anybody who gives me 60,000 will take that."
60,000.
Get it? And I'm like, "Wait a minute."
60,000.
I told him I have 50. He said, "You know what? You're a young man. If you give me 55,000, you can take that laptop." Remember, I didn't come with the money. This is money I'm saving. I'm not moving without money.
Yeah.
And I told the man, you know what? I want it, and I'll give you the money tomorrow.
What's up, guys? If you're watching this, I just wanted to break here to give you some important news. So we have just launched the Smart Club, which is my private mentorship club for anyone who wants to learn a high-income digital marketing skill. Whether you're building your personal brand, whether you want to become a freelancer, a service provider, or your goal is to learn the skill and get a high-income digital marketing job, the Smart Club is the place for you. We have 12-plus digital marketing skills that we're going to teach you through live classes. So every week for the next couple of months, I'm literally going to mentor you personally and make sure that you reach your goal with your digital marketing skills. So down below, I just wanted to break and give you a very quick shout-out. Down below, there's going to be a link. Make sure you check it and enroll before you keep watching the rest of the video. And I look forward to seeing you on your very first club session.
He said, "Okay, if you give me the money tomorrow," somebody was about to come pick it up, "I'll keep it for you. Tomorrow, come get it." We went back to Boya, and I pleaded with my friend, and I gave him 1,000 francs. And I said, "Take the 1,000 francs as transportation. Take me back."
Mm-hmm.
So I got back. I gave that man 55,000. I got that broken laptop.
Oh, wow.
Now I have a laptop.
Mm-hmm.
In my room. Man, you cannot imagine the amount of power that gave me.
Right.
Now I had about 4,000 left. Man, I was dying inside. Like, I've made a lot of money just yesterday. And it's finished.
And today you're broke, per se. But that's an investment.
So I went back to the cyber cafe because I couldn't work because it's just a laptop. There's no internet. Internet was probably one of the most expensive things you could pay for. So I went back to the cyber cafe. My agreement was still on with Tale. I started thinking, like, how can I use this knowledge to start making more money? So I took an A4 paper, and I cut it into small pieces with a ruler. And I wrote my name and my number. I had bought a phone. I bought a phone. So I put my number on my name and a number on a piece of paper. And in the afternoon, when people are coming to the cyber cafe, I'll go to them and I'll tell them I can build a website for you. I started doing this not only in Bomaka. I started going to Moliko. And this is where I had contact with Church Hill for the first time. Okay, this
Touch
is where I knew us. Yeah, Touchy Nanje. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Someone's doing exactly what I'm doing. The calls started coming in. It's not too much calls. I was getting like once a month, I'll get someone telling me, "Oh, I need a website." And now I knew the price. I was like, okay, if you give me 50,000, I'll give it to you 1 week. That's what that was my sell point. I started building a lot of websites, man. Like, I was just building. I could say, like, almost every week I was building a website. Almost every week. And there was this friend, and this is another point where my life changed. Never going to forget. This friend, he had gone to Yaoundé to do networking. And when he came back, I was making money. I've even changed my house. I was living now in a little bit more better place. He was like, "What happened?"
Yeah, and I'm like, go.
"I build websites." Oh. Then he asked me a question. After that discussion, he said, "But wait a minute, how do you do to make sure that the websites are not hacked?" First time of my life hearing the word hacked.
Wow.
And I didn't ask him, "What is hacked? What do you mean by hacked?" I'm like, "Man, I just built it. You know, I'm good at what I do." After we separated, I went online and, "What is hacked?"
Yep.
And the definition at that time was a computer, a good person in programming who understands computer security. I'm like, what is programming? Remember, I've just been doing my HTML, CSS. HTML, CSS, a little bit of JS. And for the first time, I learned about PHP, Python, Perl. So web development became the side hustle, and I started teaching myself how to program.
Security.
Now, full disclosure. Sorry to MTN for what I'm about to say. Full disclosure. I went to MTN office and they were selling an MTN stick. You remember I was making money now. And the stick was 90,000 CFA francs. And in 90,000 CFA francs, you were supposed to pay every month 10,000 to have internet at home.
Yeah.
When I bought this thing for 90,000 francs, I was given 3 months free. It was on promotion. 3 months free. And then after 3 months, 10,000 every month. I came to my house and I plugged in that USB stick. And lo and behold, internet at home. And the first thing I did was I went on my knees. And I'm like, okay, no more sleeping in cyber cafes.
No more cleaning. Now, no more cleaning.
No more cold. I will sleep in my house. And that is how I started doing. That is what I started doing. I started teaching myself, learning at a very high rate. I think after 2 weeks of learning programming, I was fluent somehow in Python. And then I started going into hack forums. One of the hack forums I went to is still alive today. It's called hackforums.net. I was the Elon Musk of hackforums.net. You see, every second you get a tweet from Elon, that is what was happening. Man, every minute I was asking questions and then answering some of the questions asked by new people. I was so active that I was referred to a guy who later I knew to be the homeless hacker. I've forgotten his name. He's very popular. Andre Lamo, okay? Now, this guy came to me and said, why are you asking so many questions on the group? And I answered, I said, I want to learn, and this knowledge is out there, but it's hidden. I don't know how to get this knowledge. I know someone has it, but nobody's talking about it. He said, how hungry are you? I remember the question. I still have that email to date.
And my why did he ask how hungry are you?
I don't know. It was just some kind of cryptic language, some kind of cryptic. Hackers have their own way of thinking. And my reply to him was, I can eat anything. So he said, okay, I'll do this. Every day, I will send you something to read. I will send you what you need to know, but I will send you what to read. And then he will, when I read it, I will go to Hack Forum and I will make a post about it. For example, a summary. The first time he sent me phishing, I went and read about phishing. I went and posted about phishing. The next day he sent me dissembling, how to disassemble a code. I read about it. I went and posted. Right. So he was following. So he was like, this guy seems to be crazy.
Yeah.
So as that went on, he sent me a post. And that title of that post was Free Internet. And in that post, he said, there are USB carrying communication data to your telecommunication company. And that data tells that telecommunication company how much you have in your account. So basically, your telecommunication company can know that Bruno has 8,000 and not 10,000, or 8 francs and not 10,000. And when the amount goes below a certain amount, then the service is disrupted.
It triggers, yeah.
So there was a Python script that sits in the middle between your USB and your telecommunication company.
Okay. Oh, wow.
That's how I got internet for free for 1 year.
Oh, wow. Who would think that The point is, I like the way you break it down because even for me, I'm not a very tech person, like specific into the security things. But the way you explain it, I feel like I can pick now and
Yeah, exactly.
But I wanted us to, I really, I don't think I've heard a story like yours, and I'm super intrigued. And you know, that moment where you're speaking to someone, you feel like this is really one of those stories, and I'm sure even those who are going to watch this will totally relate. I'll read you something that I wrote today because I feel like it just this entire process of something that of your entire story. Now, I was just writing to myself. I was like, five things that anyone needs to start a business. And I said the first thing was the offer. The second thing is you figure out how to generate leads. The third thing is you make the sale. And then the fourth thing is you go for the fulfillment. And then the fifth thing after you do the fulfillment is you start to build the systems. And after you build the systems, you build the team. And that was quite profound that I started writing that. And for me, as you were talking, I was like, that's exactly what you did, even from the beginning. Like, after you went out there, you got the first sale, you're like, okay, now you need to go and buy the laptop. When you bought the laptop, it wasn't okay that you had developed the offer. It was okay for you to start writing down and say, hey, okay, now you can build a website here. And that's part of the sales. And now from the sales, people started reaching out to you, then you started having a business one by one, and you could now start, okay, let me open a clientele, let me deliver this service and all that. How did it transition from you, okay, building one website a day or building from your student room to, okay, now I have to take this professional, build an office, start to build a team, and I would like to know about that transition phase for you.
So once I knew I was making money from websites, and I've gone into programming, teaching myself how to program, teaching myself how to hack. One of the things that I came up with as I was looking at life, I'm like, okay, the website is working, but it's how long is this going to be? Certain services started coming up, like WordPress. WordPress started coming up, and people could build websites themselves. They don't need you anymore. And I was like, this thing is dying. One of the gifts I've always had is that I've always had a rational thinking mind. I've always been that person that can sit and look at the future. Even in my family, people like they're like, okay, if you want to know what tomorrow will bring, go ask Bruno. Because I always and I described myself this way to somebody recently, and I told the person, if I want to be honest with myself, I'm like Raymond Remington in The Blacklist. I don't know what will happen, but I know how to make it happen. I don't know what tomorrow looks like, but I know how to make tomorrow look like what I want it to be. I put things in place that works towards that. So I quickly realized that web development is going out of business. I knew that it's going to take 3 years from the time I knew it will be 3 years. Looking at the trend, I said, oh, everything that's happening 3 years down the line, this would not be a business anymore. But what was a business at that time was companies and businesses were trying to reach people. And I went into SMS programming. I could program SMS now at this point in time. So I created my first company called Mobile Information Network. And Mobile Information Network was created so that companies can push out marketing SMSs, just like MTN was doing at the time, without spending a lot of money. And so I went around looking for people's contact. I had written a Python script to scrap contact numbers out of the internet. I was doing all of these things, but Mobile Information Network failed. The reason why it failed was because it wasn't simply the right time. People didn't understand it. People didn't get it. I will tell you about the story. So this Nigerian was contacting me, and this will tell you exactly how the office came about. This Nigerian contacted me and he said, one of my guys told me that you are a programmer. And I'm like, yeah. He says, if I give you a number, can you write a program to switch that number over? And I'm like, yeah, I can do that. I'm like,
Wait,
okay.
let me backdrop. What does he mean by switch it over?
So he wants to give me a number like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0. And he wants me to write a program that can randomly change the sequence. For example, he doesn't want it to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0. It should be 1, 0, 9, 7, 8, 6, 2-2-1, just switch that over and do it so fast, do it fast. And he sent me the first sequence of number.
Yeah.
And I wrote my program, and I, like I said, I'm a very, I can think really well. I wrote the program, and I knew, he didn't tell me, I knew this is a recharge card number. So what he was doing, he gets a recharge card, uses it, but see how the sequence is. And then I can now write a program to create new sequences. At that time, phone operating systems were not Android or iOS. There was an operating system called Bada, okay? Bada was very easy to program with a programming language or a scripting language called Bash. And I wrote Bash script. I was very fluent in Bash script at this time. And I sent him close to 1 million random numbers from that sequence. And he wrote me and told me, I'm coming to Cameroon. You follow me back to Nigeria.
Ooh, just like that.
So he came and we went back to Nigeria. I just had my ID card and we went by boat. We went to Calabar. And he said, okay, listen, this is a form and this is one sequence number. If you write the code, I'll come and pick you up in the morning. He paid for the hotel, everything. That night, I sat with my laptop. Now I had a better laptop, of course. Sat with my laptop, wrote it, and guess what? To my surprise, that phone had like 900,000 naira in the morning. So what he would do is he would take the phone, which has 900,000 naira, and goes to a corner shop and say, here is the phone with 900,000 naira. Give me 700,000 naira. Take the phone and the credit. And you know Nigerians, when they see business, like they will bounce.
Company.
That is how I started making some kind of ridiculous amount of money. This is where I started knowing I could make a million. Now, if you understand this, then you understand why I got married early. Because a young man, a young man with a lot of money. So that was it. And then I decided to move to Burkina Faso. My mother had moved to Burkina Faso. There was a tension at home. My mom had separated with my dad. So my mom moved to Burkina Faso. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to Burkina Faso, see my mom. You know, I had money, man. I could go anywhere. So went to Burkina Faso. The plan was to leave Burkina Faso and go to Italy. And from Italy, start a new life. Went to Burkina Faso and sitting on the TV, watching television, CRTV, of course. And there is Chachi Nanje. And I'm like, hey, wait a minute. Hey.
I know him. Yeah.
But now the guy has a title, CEO.
Oh, right.
I'm like, wait a minute. I'm doing illegal stuff. And yeah. Going nowhere, this guy is a CEO
of a company.
Oh, okay, no, I'm going back. And without Church him knowing, he actually played this role in my life where I actually came back to Cameroon and then I started Zoix. When I came back to Cameroon, the reason why, and one of the things that forced me was because Church him was building Njoku.com.
Njoku, yeah.
Yeah, and Joku.com, you can ask Churchill this, had a lot of security issues. Like, I would get into Joku and hack it every day. Like, I would just sit and like, okay, it's time to hack. And I would just go hack Joku. It was fun. But the good thing is, I would hack Joku and I would tell Churchill, I'm like, hey, man, I found this. This is open. This.
Yes.
And,
yeah.
Churchill was smart, like he would close it, not the same day, immediately. Like Churchill would take up to 2 minutes. And I'm like, wait, this guy is good. This guy is good. So I'm like, okay, if Churchill is having security problems, is he the only startup? The answer was no. So man,
no.
Going back, I have to go back, create a security, a cyber security company, stop doing illegal stuff, and start doing legal stuff. Become a CEO of your own.
Mm.
Went back to Cameroon, created Zoix, and started selling security services, selling cyber, selling web application development, mobile application development, all those things I was doing.
Such an interesting story. And that leads me to asking you something. What is the red car phenomenon, and why is that very important to anyone watching this who is a business owner, an entrepreneur, or someone who is even serving within a company?
Right. Now, the red car phenomenon simply asks a question. If you ask anybody, including our viewers today, how many red cars did you see this morning? Now, the answer is going to be, man, I didn't see any red car.
Right.
No, I didn't. Man, even if the guy won't even give a second thought, like, no red car. I didn't see any red car. Now, if you ask that same question, you're saying, how many red cars did you see? And if you give me evidence that you saw one, I will give you $100. The answer no longer becomes, I didn't see. It becomes, let me think. Where did I see it? Like, wait, it seems there was a red car passing along. You know, was that right?
Yeah.
The reason why you're doing this extra investment, as I call it, this extra brain work, is because there is a value attached to that question. There is a value attached to that answer you want to give.
Yep.
Now, if you go an extra mile and say, for every red car you see tomorrow, I'll give you $100.
I'm seeing 50 tonight.
This person won't take a normal route to work. If they were driving from point A to point B to work, they won't do that. They would drive around. They're looking for red cars.
Yeah.
Why? That question and that answer has something attached to it.
Incentive,
and this to me is the basic foundation of what is known as luck. Now, a lot of people say, oh, Array is lucky. Array got this offer. Array is lucky. No, Array is not really lucky. Array simply went out looking for red cars.
Right.
Now, your red car could be a new office.
Yep.
Your red car could be a new job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Opportunities. Did you go out looking for them? And I also explained, there are two types of people who go out looking for things. There are passive lookers and there are active lookers in all sphere of life. Now, passive lookers are those who know what they want, know how it looks like, and they're like, if I see it, I will recognize it. So they see it waiting for the opportunity to come to them. But if that opportunity does show up, they say, oh, yeah, I want that. You know? Active lookers are those who say, I know what I want. I know the color of what I want. I won't sit here waiting for it. I will go look for it. Okay? Now, let me tell you how certain people are lucky in this field. Let me just explain this in a very short way. Say we want to make, our goal is to make $1 million, you and I.
Yep.
And we're thinking, like, how can I make $1 million? Like, I'm just sitting around. And you go out there searching, you know, you're going on Google, how to make $1 million, blah, blah, blah. And you, both of us, we see an advert. Investor conference in Rwanda, in Kigali, Rwanda.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You will interpret it, you that you have been actively going looking, you will interpret that advertisement as a route to $1 million. Because you are thinking, oh, yeah, those investors could put money into my dream and I could make $1 million. Now, even though I'm looking for the same thing, but because I'm just sitting passively, I might, but in the last year, might not interpret that same conference advert as an opportunity to $1 million.
Yeah.
So that is just how luck works. Either you're out there looking for it or you are not looking for it. Now, a lot of people don't even know what they need. That's the truth. I've seen a lot of people in business who don't know what they need. Like you hear someone tell you, I'm looking for a job. What kind of job? Anything at the duan. So I asked myself then, at the end of it, what are you actually looking for? Really? You know? So that is just the issue with the red car phenomenon. And I teach not only these, but also a lot of other things with my mentees. I do a free mentorship, 3 months mentorship program. And you might be surprised. I offer a free 3 months mentorship program, pay for advertisement on Facebook, and guess how many people apply? Not more than 52. Even though I was looking for a less number than that, but that should tell you already.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That you would do something and offer that kind of knowledge, and many people are not reaching out to get it.
Exactly. Meanwhile, when we were growing up, I think our generation, if we see this, oh man, we are going. Like, a lot of things have changed where I think young people are not so pushful.
Hungry.
They're not so hungry. Life seems to be too comfortable. They want to live the good life, but they don't want to work.
Mm.
They don't want to do the hard work. They want to live the good life without doing the hard work, which to me is crazy in the first point, very crazy. Second point is you won't actually understand it, because in my life, I've come to understand that if you work for what you get, you understand the value of what you have.
Oh, yes.
And people don't do that. That's why you see people go to the mall. You can spend $1,000. They don't care about it. After all, tomorrow, brother, sister is going to send another $1,000. So, let me just live my life. Then when you turn 60 and you're looking around and there's no money, you start cursing the world. Like, the world doesn't care about me, blah, blah, blah. But you didn't do any work. You didn't do anything.
Right. I think what I hear you say in summary is that the harder you work, the luckier you get, because the opportunities are there, but you have to put yourself in position to be able to benefit from them. And that's what I think that some of our generation is lacking. It ends on social media. And I was wondering sometimes, what would you say it should be a starting point for anyone, be it someone, let's talk about from the entrepreneur side, and as well as from the career side, because the other thing that we have to push to the generation is that it's okay to have a job. Not everyone has to become an entrepreneur, but I think it's more fulfilling if you understand that the purpose of your role, this is your purpose, and this is how you are building towards it and just excelling in it. But talk to someone who is watching you right now, what should be a better approach to approaching career vis-a-vis entrepreneurship and starting a business?
Okay, so first off, the life of an entrepreneur is an extremely difficult life. Okay, I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm not saying that to scare you, but it's an extremely difficult life. Why is it difficult? There will be time when you make money, you live large. There will be time when you have no money.
Yep.
But you still need to show up. You still need to work. You still need to go out there. You still need to smile. So it's a very difficult life. I will advise more on the direction of an entrepreneur, but if you want a comfortable life, if you want a life where you are not too stressed, you know exactly how much you're going to get at the end of the month, you know exactly how much you will spend at the end of the month, and if you factor in that if you do that math, you will be having some extra money lying around, then I'll advise you to take a job.
Yeah.
And then use your savings as investment. You can still become an entrepreneur even if you have a job by investing in other businesses. You can do that. So if you decide to go the entrepreneurial route, which some of us crazy people took, know that you will suffer, okay? You will suffer, you will stress out. You will go sleepless. You will go sleepless. There will be times when you will not have anything to eat. But there will be times when you fly private, first class, sleep in the best hotels, meet the presidents, meet the leaders of the world. So you will live the best of life and the worst of life. So if that's something that sounds interesting to you and you want to take entrepreneurial route, have this advice, and this is where I usually start. Just do it. A lot of people romance their ideas. That's the word I usually use. A lot of people romance their ideas. They fall in love with the idea and they keep romancing it. What does that mean? That means you want to start a restaurant, for example. And, oh my God, I'm going to start this restaurant where people are going to be sitting in water to eat. It's innovative. It's new. You can go and explain, but you're not doing it because in your brain, you're thinking, should the water be blue or green? You want the idea step. To be fully formed before you do it. If you are waiting for your idea to be fully formed, don't do it. Take the first step, start doing it. Let people come and meet a hole, and they're like, what are you drinking? And you're like, don't worry. You can eat on this table now. Tomorrow, there will be water in there. That is where you need to start. And a lot of other people are scared because when they want to start a business, they're like, oh, let me go register the business. Let me get the licenses. I said, no. I am one of the person that preach about registering your business. But I say, if you are starting, start. People think that when they start, they're going to make sales. And the reason why they think that is because in their mind, they have fallen in love with the idea. They are falling in love with their solution. They are falling in love with your product. So they think everybody is going to also buy that product because they're falling in love with it. So absolutely not, it's not going to happen. There are certain times when you will create a product and no one will buy it. Absolutely no one, not even your immediate family. Okay? So if you think that, oh, I'm going to do this and they buy tomorrow, no, don't do that. But don't be scared. Go out there, do it. When one person buys and they start buying, make sure that one person can come back or can refer someone. If you have, and I have a number. If you have 25 people that buys your product, go register the company. It's legit. Right. 25 people have verified and said, this is good, and they bought it. So if you fail now, it's not the product or the solution. It's you. You are the problem.
Totally agree, because I think so I have a mentorship club called the Smart Club, where it's basically just sharing some of the best lessons I am learning during the year, and we just gather and I just pour that out, be it from copywriting to the different skills and me building my marketing agency. And for those who are running like digital businesses, I always say to them, for me, I'll put it at the mark, I'll be like, look, if you haven't made £1 million, don't register the business. I don't feel like it makes sense, because again, as young people, it's like not everything you try is going to work out. So just imagine that you spend 3 months trying to do the paperwork, and then 2 months into it, it doesn't go. You spend 5 months. You started a three-part series that I wanted to ask you. You talked about becoming a global citizen. What was it all about, and what did you intend to pass across through that message?
A lot of people think and are still in prison. No, they don't think they're in prison. A lot of people are in prison, but the prison isn't a war. The prison is their brain. Mm. And they're like, oh, I'm a Cameroonian, so I can't do that. Oh, I'm an African, so I have this disadvantage. Oh, I'm black, so I have this weakness. I'm not good enough. I've not had that certification. I've not done that. I've seen this not only in people who are not entrepreneurs, I've seen this in a lot of people where they tell me, Bruno, you're trying to create a space company. You're not an astronaut. You've not studied. I don't need to do that. So people believe so much in these limitations, various limitations I've just mentioned, their race, their language, their culture is even limiting them, where they're from. And I'm just preaching, as in those three-part series, I was preaching a simple language. You are not a Cameroonian, really. If we go back and investigate, you are not even an African. You are a child of planet Earth. You are a child of the universe. You can be anywhere and anything doing exactly what you want to do.
All right.
And I was trying to, first of all, start in the part one to educate people how to travel easily. Because a lot of young people tell me, oh, if I was in Dubai, I'd do this. If I was in Germany, I'd do this. If I was in the United States, I'll do this. I understand that these various countries give you more opportunities, Laws are well defined and easy to understand.
Yeah.
But that is not what is stopping you. What is stopping you is you don't know how to get there. A lot of people have businesses that are making the money. They are not paying taxes. They are not registered, but they want the good things in life. Oh, I want to be in Germany. Who pay for the taxes to develop Germany? The Germans. That is why when you go there, they're looking at you. You're coming to enjoy our stuff. Register your business if it starts making money and pay the taxes, because the government is fit on that taxes to do development. Now, I'm not saying the government is not siphoning taxes in certain countries. That is not your concern. Your concern is have that clear conscience that you are doing something to develop the environment. You are doing something to develop the society. You're doing something to develop your country. Not every day thinking like, oh, what has the country done to me? What have you done for the country?
Right. Now, on that note, I'm going to ask, would you, in regards to registering a business and in regards to your tax laws and everything, would you prefer registering a business in Cameroon and operating globally, or would you prefer registering a business in a Western country and then operating elsewhere? What's your thought around that? I'm sure this is even more of a personal question.
Yeah, I'm a businessman, and I'm going to answer you like a businessman. Business people are egoistic and self-centered.
Right.
First thing I'm going to think is, what is my advantage? What am I gaining? Okay, I'm going to, and it's not really egoism. It's kind of just looking at life logically, just thinking of, okay, if I register in Cameroon, of course, I can tell you my taxes are going to be lower if compared to the United States.
100%.
How many companies will want to do a business with a Cameroonian-based company? How many companies in the world? Now we are talking about reputation. The U.S. company will be more reputable than the Cameroonian company. I would do it in the U.S. You're not doing it because, oh, now I'm leaving Cameroon. No, you're doing it because there are more advantages here. If we photocopy what is here in the United States and we implant it or paste it in Africa.
What's up, guys? If you're watching this, I just wanted to break here to give you some important news. So we have just launched the Smart Club, which is my private mentorship club for anyone who wants to learn a high income digital marketing skill. Whether you're building your personal brand, whether you want to become a freelancer, a service provider, or your goal is to learn the skill and get a high income digital marketing job, the Smart Club is the place for you. We have 12 plus digital marketing skills that we're going to teach you through live classes. So every week for the next couple of months, I'm literally going to mentor you personally and make sure that you reach your goal with your digital marketing skills. So down below, I just wanted to break and give you a very quick shout out. Down below, there's going to be a link. Make sure you check it and enroll before you keep watching the rest of the video. And I look forward to seeing you on your very first club session.
Man, how many African-Americans will be here? There will be some, because people will still be moving up and down, but a lot of people want... Just look at the way African-Americans refer to Africa. They call it the motherland. There's no African that I know that is out of Africa, out of Cameroon, and somehow doesn't feel homesick, somehow doesn't long to go back, to say, this is where I am. It's just tied to our DNA.
Just to add to what you're saying, there's something I heard you quote, and you said Africa is the only continent without a space mission.
We don't have a space mission. We don't have it. When I talk of Africa, right? When I talk of Africa, I'm referring to the entire continent. But a small country, India, a country, not a continent, a country, went to the dark side of the moon. Something that China have not done, the United States have not done. They landed in the dark side of the moon. Man, if you look at the technology you need to accomplish this, it's crazy. We have not even gone out to space. If we want to launch satellites, we go to Japan. We buy satellites and go to SpaceX. We buy satellites and go to different people, including Australia, to launch our own satellites. Now, if you have been into the technology sphere for a long period of time, you will understand what I'm about to tell you. Nobody built a sophisticated technology without a back door. Nobody. There's always somewhere where we have to access this if things go wrong. What program is the African continent doing to say, you know what, let's look for our talented young people in NASA and bring, if not even if they're coming back, can we create a synergy? Can we make them talk to the ones here? Can we build them up? Can we know what we want is to get into private jets, fly to Switzerland, take pictures, fly back home? We are not doing it. So it's not just sometimes we come and we blame the entrepreneurs. We tell them, oh, you are not a global citizen because of A, B, or C. But then that doesn't mean I don't identify what is hindering them. Okay? So we don't have only mental prison. We also have physical prison that is keeping people behind. I can say this. I have probably been the most fortunate young Cameroonian entrepreneur because I have been sponsored by the National Employment Fund. I've been given a lot of money, close to 10 million CFA francs by the National Employment Fund. I've been given, and I paid my debts. That was a loan. I paid it, and I paid in full. But how many Cameroonians will do that? You know?
Mm-hmm.
10 million? Oh, I'm going to Germany the next day. I'm flying, you know. How I have been given a presidential award of 10 million plus CFA francs and what they call the Clé de la Palace. I could go to the presidency anytime. I have been so fortunate, but still, with all these things, there is a problem. And the problem is, even though I had all these things, it wasn't working the way it should work. I did do a lot of work for this to happen. And if I compare myself with other young people, I know they won't do it. I know they won't do it. Let me give you another example. When you came to my office, did you know that one of the rooms was where I was sleeping?
No idea.
I literally slept in my office for 3 years with my wife. Nobody knew it. Yeah, because I was thinking, if I rent another house, I'll be paying rent in the office, paying rent in another house. So I took one of the rooms, a very small room, and I put the bed. I put everything I need to sleep. I wake up in the morning, I get into the shower, 7 a.m., I'm sitting down. My workers are like, this guy. They'll see my car park outside. They're like, oh, he drove here. No, I didn't drive. I sleep there. At the end of the day, I let everybody go. No, I have some other meetings, blah, blah, blah. Everybody goes. I go back and catch a little bit of sleep, come back, work overnight. A very few young men will do this, live this kind of a life. Very few people will live this kind of a life.
Right now, I have a team of four. And I honestly don't intend to increase because I want less headache. I want less headache. And also because I feel like my line of, I mean, I'm running a marketing agency, it's digital, and there are many more things I can automate. And if I can as a business person, if I can make more money with lesser team, automate many other systems, it puts me way ahead. But even with the team, there are some certain things that I find really challenging on managing them, I have to constantly keep up with that. So what is the relationship between you and your team? How do you build that? But most importantly, what are those little things that you're doing that keeps the team going, be it from the vision to the systems, the culture, which is very important as well, and just how you interact with your team as well?
Yeah, that's if you ask me what's my most difficult thing as an entrepreneur, as I said, building a team, the first mistake you will make is that you will think hiring people who you know and who knows you will create a better team. Basically, you start looking at your friends. But I can't work now. I will do some work, make money. Yeah, you'll make that mistake. That is the biggest mistake you ever make. Because being your friend doesn't mean the person understands the vision. Now, another thing about your team is there are two types of people who want to work with you. There are always two and there will always be two. The first type are people who come to make money. So they have a problem. Your job offers them a solution. Okay, this is the biggest secret. You must hire this kind of people, but you must keep them always at 20%. This kind of people who are working for you just because they want the money are the most respectful and obedient employee because they are scared. They have a fear. The fear is, if I get fired,
I lose the money.
What happens to my rent? What happens to whatever? They're so scared. So you want 20% of these people.
Mm-hmm.
The next percentage of people you want is at least 30 or 40% of people who understand your dream, who understand it. Don't get it wrong. Don't say they want to be in the dream. They understand what you're doing. Okay? Now, these are people who will work with you as long as what you want to do is what you keep doing. Now, the next people, these are the people you always want to keep around. These are the people you don't want to joke with. The people who not only understand your vision, but which your vision is theirs.
Oh, exactly. That's another level.
Exactly. So they understand what you're doing, but this was what they wanted to do, but they simply didn't have the opportunities you have to do this. So they are not only working, they are fulfilled. It's what they have always wanted to do, and they're doing it now. Okay? You don't want to joke with these people because they are the easiest people to leave. Like if you mess them up, they'll leave. Because already they are invested, they have love for what you're doing.
Yeah.
Now, in these three people, you need to know how to keep them happy. Now, being an entrepreneur, being a CEO, is not putting on suits and going to the office and get calls, good morning, sir, how are you, sir? No. No, it's far beyond that. It's about making your dream other people's dream, especially your employees. Now, take this statement. Your employees are your first clients. Your employees are your first client. If your employees are not buying your thing or buying into your product or buying into your service, it's a big mistake. That is why big companies force them to buy. Number two, a lot of people employ people without making the people invest in the company. And I'll give you a secret. And this has worked for me all the time. Mm-hmm. If you make people invest in your company, man, you have the best employees in the world. Now, there are two types of things you have to understand. If I come to your company and I'm making a salary, it's not an investment. I'm being paid. It's not an investment. I'm getting something out. But what if I say I won't pay you $100,000, I'll pay you $50,000, and then I will invest in the company your extra $50,000? So that means I'm paying you and you own 2% of the company.
You're killing themselves, right?
Right. Now, this gets the person invested in the company. Jack Ma, like you mentioned, did this with his secretary. You know about the story. She's now worth millions. So if you are employing people, look for those who are really interested in the thing, and let them invest. But again, it's not everybody's going to fit the bill. Not every. Yeah. So I can't come and teach you everything. You need to be very observant. Another thing is, when you're employing people, please take your emotions, tie it in a bundle, wrap it up, throw it out the window. I've seen where people hire because of, oh, he looked good. He was handsome. Oh, he's tall. He talks well. He's a nice guy. No, when you are hiring, you must have, and this is, most of my mentees don't have this. So I hope they watch this. People hire based on what the job needs. Let me explain, which is wrong. I need a secretary, so I will hire a secretary. You can't get longer than that. It's the worst way to hire.
What do you hire?
You hire services. I need a secretary. What does a secretary do? What would that person be doing? Exactly. Bring out a list. You have to be exclusive. It has to be extensive list. Number one, the person will wake up in the morning, do this, do that. You explain everything. Number two, what does someone need to be qualified in to do these things?
Yeah, yeah.
Must the person have a first degree? Is it a bachelor's degree? If it's a first degree, how does it fit that bill? If it's a bachelor's degree in what? If it's a bachelor's degree, you and I have seen geographers flying planes, right? We've seen geographers being in politics, right? We've seen geographers, historians. being mathematics teacher. You have to ask yourself, okay, now I'm looking for a secretary. Okay, one, the secretary will bring my coffee. The secretary will check my email. The secretary will be able to reply to my emails. The secretary will pick up my first line of calls. The secretary will be able to route those calls to me. The secretary will be able to remind me of meetings and calls. Now, what? Not that I'm looking for this secretary. The person that's supposed to do this, let's look at their qualification. What do they need? Number one, in order to read and reply emails, they need to have basic computer knowledge. So you write basic computer knowledge as the requirement, not secretary. You're not hiring a secretary. You're hiring someone who has basic computer knowledge. You're hiring someone who can use AI to write emails. You're hiring someone who has a good voice to answer calls and is personal, is people-friendly, speaks French or English. You are putting those things down. Now, when you do that, you will make another mistake. You will underpay. Everybody does it. There is nothing as stupid as trying to take a donkey into a horse race. Will you win? The donkey looks like a horse. It does.
Baby,
but you're not
going to
win. It won't run like a horse. So when you find this person and you underpay, they will run like that donkey. They are definitely a horse, but they will run like that donkey. So you need to figure out, how much are people in this category paid? It's not you that will tell. It's not your public relation that will tell you. It's not a human resource that will tell you. If you are a startup, you don't even have a human resource. You are the human resource.
Exactly.
You need to go figure out. You need to go Google. Okay, in this country, how much are these people paid? If you find out and you cannot pay, don't hire. If you cannot pay, it means you are not ready for that service. That's your company is not ready for that. Now, you know that I used to tell my mentees, there's a policy of the third. The policy of the third means everything your company can do, the company must have 3 times that money. So if you are hiring Ari to come and be your secretary, and you found out that the perfect way to make Ari stay and execute in perfect coordination is 100,000, you must
have 300,000
for Ari.
Ooh.
If you don't have it, you are not worth Ari.
Right.
Then you will see in that company now do what they call micromanaging. They will go and bring, they will say, okay, since Array has all the qualification but needs 100,000, let's go hire Bruno, who speaks in a crooked language, cannot even spell T-H-E there correctly. Let's just manage him. He will learn in the job. Then tomorrow you call, you say, my team, man. I am away, so Bruno will accept 25,000 at the end of the month, but it won't translate to money. Another thing that when people are hiring, they don't see the people as assets, they see them as liabilities. That is why very few companies that I know of will send a secretary to go to a secretary conference.
Right.
She don't for day and see and call you to make them give up. You are not doing anything. So, but if you look at what other companies are doing, companies who have understood this, they will fly a team, an entire team to Dubai. Go to Dubai, learn. Man, I've talked with so many teams that I have hired a team that stole my company in Cameroon. I've hired a team that took my company with my name, went and execute a contract, it was paid to them. And they did that not once, not twice, not thrice. They did it so many times. And the people started calling me, man, what are you doing? Are you running a scam? Are you running a scam? You said you would do this. We paid you. I said, like, can I see the receipts? Another thing is, in companies, everything must be documented. Unfortunately, I'm not in the right place. I will have shown you right now my morning coffee documented because I use the business card. Documented. is $2. You must know I spent $2 for coffee. You must know where every cent is going. Because business is not just something you run out of, oh, let me just run a business. Business is a way of life. If you mess up, you will fail. And when you fail, because there's another trap in entrepreneurship, it's very difficult to have an entrepreneur work for you. It's extremely you won't even find, in your mind, you will say, no, I can't do it. You yourself, the entrepreneur, you will find it difficult to work for someone else because you'll be looking at it and say, I could have done this. So make sure you don't fail. And another thing, when you are hiring people, and a lot of Cameroonians fall in this trap, you've created a business and you've started selling, or let's say you're not selling out of Cameroon. I always tell my mentees, hire someone in a country where when it's day, it's night for you. And when it's night for you, it's day for you.
I would agree. So 1,000%.
Go to your website and write 24/7 customer support.
1,000%.
That person might come from India. That person might come from India. Their job is not to run your company. Their job is to be online answering people. Why so that when someone comes and calls, he routes to them. Now, let me shock you, Ari. 90% of Cameroonian startups don't have a programmable line. They go to MTN and buy a line. They go to Campaign and buy a line. They don't program it. They don't say, if a call comes between this and this, route it.
What to this.
If a call comes between that and that, route it to that. They don't have it. They don't have it, but they want to make the money. In my calendar, I have four kinds of meetings with all my employees. I have a weekly meeting, a meeting I hold with all my team. I don't care where you are. Every week, we have a meeting. Now, when you have a meeting, don't be the boss. Be a leader. Another trap. Very easy that during these meetings, you sit and you're like, yeah, I'm the boss. What have you done this way? What? No.
What do you do? What do you think we should do?
You start the meeting always with what is holding you back.
Right.
What? So, for example, you can start, I always start like this. Okay, I look at the, I go to the finances and I look at the finances and I say, okay, we're not making a lot of money. Like, we're losing money. I see that based on the research, I see that the reason why we're not making money is because we have too much dropout clients. Clients come, they talk to us, and then they drop out. Then you now focus on the sales team. You're like, don't blame them. What is lacking? What is it in your department that if we do, these people won't be dropping like this? And you'll hear, they will give you, they will tell you, because you are not blaming them, you're trying to support them. When you are talking with employees, make sure that you are looking at, what can I do? It's not your fault. Because I hired the right person, you are the right person I hired. You went through a filtering service, you passed. What's wrong with me? What am I not doing for you? Then the person will tell you. I have a meeting every 3 months. This is not as a recreational meeting. It's not a meeting to ask me, oh, where are we? Why have we not done that? Why is this one not working? No. It's a meeting of, you know what? Okay, book your flight. You're going to Durban. 2 days, company paid. There are people in that company, in my company in South Africa, who are looking for that 3 months. They are waiting for that 3 months. Like, Durban, Cape Town is coming. And why am I using this example? They don't fly out of the country. You are in your country, but you're going to another place in Cameroon. Leave Limbeck, go to Kribi. It's 2 days, paid by the company. I'm not saying go pay flashy hotels, go do things that you can do. If you can't do 2 days, do 1 day. A car will pick them up, they go to Kribi, they eat fish, he brings them back. Recreation. You have to understand that people working with you are some sort of a family. You must build it up like that. Now, another last thing I can mention about when you are building a team. When you are building a team, we've talked about keeping your emotions away, We've talked about having this
hiring.
Hiring, okay? We've talked about regular meetings every week, every 3 months, and every year. Mm-hmm. Every year one is a serious one where you really need to sit down with not just your team, but your PR, everybody have to be there. Now, when you have done all of this, let me tell you the secret of dynamics. When you are hiring, struggle as much as you can to have equal number of women as well as equal number of men. Struggle as much. So if you have a team of 10, struggle as much as you can to have 5 women and 5 men. Now, this is very important. This is a very, very important thing. And I'll tell you why. Men operate, it's nature. It's not Bruno saying it.
By logic.
Men operate better when they see that a woman is their competitor.
Oh.
Men operate better when they see that a man is their competitor. So,
okay.
Director of sales, woman. Assistant director of sales, man.
Oh, wow.
You get it?
Wow.
You didn't get it, forget about it.
I get it.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. The last question I'm going to ask you anyway, before I ask you the last question, but where can people find your mentorship and how can they reach out?
So I run mentorship program. Before, I was doing it by calling people directly. Okay, I was doing it by saying, hey, would you like to join my mentorship program? So, but what I'm doing now is you should definitely follow me on Facebook. I am more active on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/ZUOBRUNO. Exactly. You do that, you'll follow me on Facebook, and from time to time I'll be posting on my mentorship program. So I run one mentorship program every year, and I do it for 3 months. Then I select those who are really good, and then I support them all the way. Now, some of them are making it big. Some are still struggling. It takes a long time to do these things. So don't think you're going to get into the mentorship program, and the next month, it's not. It might happen. It might, but very unlikely. Very unlikely. So, yeah, that's how I do it.
We have a tradition on the podcast in most of these interviews, and we ask every guest at the end of it, when all is said and done, how do you want to be remembered as Zuo Bruno?
Okay. My brother, don't bring that. Okay, two things. I want to be remembered, first and foremost, if I'm able to do it, if I run the race well and I do it on time, I want to be remembered as a person who technologicalized rainfall. And that is coming up in one of my companies known as Edrix, where I'll be making North Africa greener. So my dream is to make North Africa, which is a desert right now with a lot of suffering, with a lot of poverty, to be green. And in that process, I'll be saving 5.something million lives in India. And that is how I want to be remembered. I'll explain a little bit about that. But I won't go into so much of the technical stuff because most of them are patented or patent pending. I'm looking forward to launch satellites from North Africa. But when the rockets are coming back, they will do cloud seeding. So they will throw some mixture of salt and some other special chemicals that I discovered together. And when they do this, the cloud will not be carried to North India where they will become pregnant and fall as rain. They will fall there in North Africa as rain. And you know right now that in India, North India specifically, we have a lot of rainfall, which is even given a name, the Indian monsoons. And this rainfall caused a lot of landslides, a lot of trees flooding, a lot of people die. So if by making those rainfall in North Africa, I'll be making North Africa greener, offering more arable land for agriculture, increasing economic sustenance, at the same time, reducing the deaths in Northern India. Yeah. So that is how I want to be remembered. If I don't do that, I just want to be remembered as an all-around good guy who tried his best to use technology for the development of mankind, no matter how small I could do it. I don't care if I've changed one life or two lives. I know I've touched a lot of lives, but if in those lives I've touched, only one comes out successful, I'll be smiling in my grave.
I'm inspired. I mean, I didn't see that one going that way. Well, I want to thank you very much for your time. I know how much you have on your plate, but I want to thank you for sitting down like this for a conversation. I listen to you and I'm just like, okay, and I'm building my own skyscrapers in my head because I'm truly processing things. The people watching this might think that this was just for them, but as well, it is for me. So I want to thank you even for running the journey as well, because when you run it, regardless of whether I was there or not, I come back, I look at it, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm inspired by this, and I try to follow path in a way. So thank you for your time and thank you for all the energy. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
If you did enjoy this episode, then the chances are that you're going to love other amazing episodes that we have recorded. So don't forget to check that out in the description. And also please hit the follow button so that you can get notified every time an episode goes live. Down in the description below, you're going to find links to connect with the guest, as well as links to other really helpful resources. So don't forget to check that out. And like I always say, my friends, cheers to many more years of shamelessly living and crazily excelling passion and purpose.